Gnosis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is The Drama of Easter, Part 2. And before we begin, I want to give some credit to the founder of the Lucis Trust Organization. Lucis Trust sponsors this show. The founder of the Lucis Trust Organization, Alice Bailey, wrote 24 volumes of literature. And the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. We have made of the crucifixion a tragedy, whereas the real tragedy was our failure to recognize its true significance. Well, this is such an important statement, and can you pick up where we left off last week and kind of explore that topic further?
We were talking in our last program about the crucifixion and the disparity between what the traditional interpretation of the crucifixion is and what the more esoteric view of the ageless wisdom is. The writings of Alice Bailey point out that the themes of the crucifixion and resurrection aren't just limited to Christianity, which is good to remember. These are themes that run throughout many religions of the world. The coming to earth of a world savior, the sacrifice of that savior for the salvaging of his people, and the giving up of his life, literally, the supreme sacrifice for the rescue, for the redemption of his people, and then the emergence as a continuing living being, the resurrection of that entity in some form or another to demonstrate that life is eternal. These are themes that run so deeply within human consciousness that the Christ was enacting something that has been played out in many of the religions of the world, but he carried it further, I guess we could say. The crucifixion means literally to fix upon a cross.
And so much of the emphasis of the crucifixion has been on the external drama that has occurred with the Christ and being tried and put to death and on a cross, and the depiction of all of this has been focused mainly on the outer physical aspect. But the real story, the real message that is in the, under the behind the crucifixion is the meaning of all of that. The outer form is really more of a symbol, but behind it there is a tremendously profound meaning that is being worked out there.
And we talked about the recent movie that's come out that's been so talked about, The Passion of the Christ, and the focus on the physical suffering of the Christ. But we mentioned in our last program, and it's important to remember this, that the physical suffering of the Christ was probably, and I mean this with all due respect, the least of his problems. Being the great spiritual being that he was, surely he knew how to transcend the agony of the body, for his consciousness at that point dwelt on higher planes. And again, it's I suppose it's an expression of human focus in the physical body and the personality that we imagine ourselves impaled upon a cross and imagine that we would suffer a great deal, and we would. But for Christ, according to the writings of Alice Bailey, the real suffering was in what the cross symbolized. And the cross is really the union of spirit and matter, of the higher abstract cosmic subjective planes of pure spirit or divinity, and the need to ground spiritual energy on earth through the intervention and cooperation of humanity. So when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, it was a command not to tread the path of suffering for the sake of suffering, but to tread the path of spiritual awakening, which is the ability to see the spiritual implications and significance of life in form, but also to build upon the Buddha's message of detachment from form.
And detachment from form is kind of the real message behind the crucifixion experience, because the esoteric name for crucifixion is really the renunciation. And that's really what was happening while Christ was hanging there on the cross. He was going through this process of an advanced initiation, actually, and he was going through the process of renouncing or letting go of everything that had held him in the physical world. And he was, that's why there was so much suffering attending that crucifixion.
In fact, this idea of renunciation is something that finds a strong teaching in Hinduism. It's one of the paths, one of the stages of the spiritual way for the human being. As Hinduism teaches, we're not all at the same level. We're not all at the same stage in our spiritual journey. And one reaches the path of renunciation only after you have thoroughly trod the path of desire. And as somebody pointed out, if we human beings could be satisfied by our impulses, if those really met our needs and gave us happiness, we would never agree to tread the path of renunciation. So as long as one believes that the path of desire for material and emotional pleasure and satisfaction works, stay with that path. Follow it to the very end. Follow it until you are completely exhausted with it, because only then will you be able to tread the path of renunciation without bitterness or a sense of having lost something or given up something unnecessarily or having done injury to your real desires. Hinduism understands that you tread the path of renunciation when you're at a point of realizing that you can't find what your innermost self wants through material and emotional pleasure.
And of course, the crucifixion was just one part of a long process that the Christ was also demonstrating, and all the way from the birth to the baptism and the transfiguration and then the crucifixion.
Those are initiations.
Initiation stages,
mm-hmm.
and stages of expansions of consciousness. And the Christ was encapsulating all of these, this vast process that every human being will have to go through or is going through, but he was doing it all in one lifetime.
As a demonstration.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it was all, actually the final initiations were all demonstrated all within the process of a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tremendous feat on his part. But this is where one must see the whole thing in the whole picture. If you can see the whole process at work here, then you understand what the Christ was going through.
And I think also if you can see that what the Christ was doing carries on what the Buddha taught. And the Buddha found his roots, his spiritual anchorage in Hinduism. He was born in India. He was deeply anchored in the Hindu tradition and found it wanting at that time, at least, and developed, or you could say expanded, humanity's understanding of the spiritual life through the teachings that we now know as Buddhism. 500 years later, the Christ came along and built upon what the Buddha had taught about desire, that the cause of all human suffering is desire or clinging to that which is unreal, as we've discussed in recent programs, unreal, ephemeral, not lasting. The lighthearted phrase is, you can't take it with you. Well, the Buddha understood that better than any human being ever has. And he taught that the only way to find relief from suffering is to give up attachment to that which is impermanent. And the Christ came along and demonstrated that when you give up your life literally for the life of the Spirit, you find release, freedom, and joy. And that is the real significance of the crucifixion. It's so ironic that we are being inundated with these images of suffering and sorrow and guilt and shame and sin through this furor over this motion picture, when in fact crucifixion is release and relinquishment.
And it's freedom. It's ultimately, it's arriving at a stage of freedom and liberation. And that was the whole message of the Buddha, to overcome the suffering, to achieve, you will achieve liberation from the suffering.
And that
was exactly the same message that the Christ was trying to present too, suffering and sacrifice. And all of this is a message for humanity. It wasn't just for Christians, and I think that's...
There were no Christians at that time, but
it becomes kind of a Christian festival, Easter. But I think it was intended for all humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's kind of gotten lost, I think, in all this attention today on the physical crucifixion of Christ.
And also I think the misconstrual, if that's a word, of his sacrifice as putting guilt and shame on the shoulders of human beings, that Christ died for our sins, that he died on the cross, suffered because we're so bad. That, I think, comes from Calvin and the idea that every human being is born a sinner ever since the fall of Adam in the garden or whatever. Whereas the more esoteric view of the crucifixion is a demonstration of a way of liberation that all of us have to find through our own free will, through our own renunciation of the material and the ephemeral. He said, I am come that ye may have life, and life more abundantly. And he showed through his relinquishment of attachment to earthly life and his subsequent resurrection, the enduring and joyful true life that is apart from the things of the world.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is The Drama of Easter, Part 2. Many of the ideas we're discussing today can be found in From Bethlehem to Calvary by Alice Bailey. Once again, the title, From Bethlehem to Calvary by Alice Bailey. It can be ordered for $12 from the Lucis Publishing Company. And what you have to do is, that's a nice offer. It's a big discount in a sense, because ordinarily we charge shipping, which is quite high to get that book out. But if you mention a little post-it note mentioning that you heard the show, as you heard the offer mentioned on the show in our site, and we'll be happy to send it out to you for just the price of the book itself, which is $12. Make your check or money order, $12, to Lucis Publishing Company, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis. Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, $12 check or money order to make it out to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, be sure to mention Inner Sight, and you will receive the free shipping and handling if you do so. We also have many items, general packages of information, where you can learn much more about Lucis Trust, the organization that sponsors this show. It's not a religion, but let the general information inform you. You can order the general package of information for free, of course. Call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS, once again, L-U-C-I-S, too. Key into our extensive archived library of shows on our website. That's a very interesting thing to do. Many people have expressed interest in our shows. In order to listen to those shows, all our past shows, following in numerous themes from Alice Bailey. The website is www.lucistrust.org. It's www.lucistrust.org. And we continue to need your help. You've given us a lot of support in the past, and that's enabled us to stay on the radio offering you these shows, and we appreciate any help that you can continue to give us. So if you'd like to help us out, please continue to do so. Send all donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. So with that said, I'd like to continue with the show. Do we have any more to say about this topic? Probably have a lot to say about on this,
well,
this talk.
It's such a deep topic because the crucifixion is the Christian counterpart, as Dale mentioned, of the fourth initiation, which is an extremely advanced initiation. And it's humbling, to say the least, that one should even attempt to speak about something that is so far ahead of one. But there is a phrase that a lot of people who are familiar with spiritual teaching may have heard. It's called the dark night of the soul. In fact, a great Spanish Christian mystic, St. John, wrote a book about the dark night of the soul. And a lot of people, with the best of their understanding, think they are going through the dark night of the soul when they enter into a bad patch and suffer emotionally, which is not to be made light of. But the true dark night of the soul is something much more horrendous and much more advanced. And it was the experience of the Christ on the cross, according to esoteric teaching, not that he suffered in his physical body, not that he was going to die, not that he wanted to live and had to die and therefore said, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, I give up my life because you want me to die. That wasn't it. It was, we're told, a glimpse that the Christ had at that point of the merging with the pure realm of spirit, and the complete relinquishment of all form, including the concept of being an individual. Not the selfish will of the self-focused personality that we would probably imagine. Someone preparing for the fourth initiation is free of all ego and ambition and separativeness, but they are still functioning within the idea or the mindset of being an individual. And as I understand it, at the stage of the fourth initiation, one relinquishes even the concept that one is the soul. One gives up everything in the emergence with pure spirit. The closest concept I can think of is the drop entering the ocean. And that is the real dark night of the soul.
And that's why at that moment the Christ is said to have cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Mm-hmm. It was such a devastating kind of experience that he thought he had lost everything.
His soul.
Yeah. But actually it was a transition stage, and it was at that stage where he began to merge and fuse with the highest spirit, or the what they call the monadic aspect, and or the father aspect, and that represented a very advanced stage.
I think, isn't this where the probably misteaching that Christ is God starts, where he became aware that he was in fact pure spirit, as we all are, but don't know it. And people have misunderstood this and said that he is God.
I wouldn't be surprised, yes, yeah. Because at that moment one is so fused with God. One has to, you have to let go of everything in the past and then fuse with the higher spiritual aspect. And that's no, and that's no small feat. And as it says, it's a matter of fusion with the highest spirit and giving over the soul to the highest aspect, the monad or the Father. So that's why at that point. And it says, I think in the Bible, that there was darkness came over the scene, mm-hmm. the land there. And but there was a period about 3 hours where the Christ had to struggle with this problem.
But that reminds me again of another aspect of esoteric teaching that says we would think light is equated with spirit. But in fact, the esoteric teaching says darkness is pure spirit, the blackness of pure spirit. And so when darkness came over him, again, it's not a bad thing. It was that he merged with the ocean of being. That's the best I can put it. There is no differentiation. I suppose darkness conveys the recognition there is no differentiation. There is simply life.
And this, of course, leads to the to what came after that, the resurrection.
The resurrection.
And
what would you say about the resurrection?
There is not a lot has been said about the resurrection, but
it's the fifth initiation.
Yeah, and this is again is the kind of the crowning achievement that the Christ demonstrated at that initiation when he said, "It is finished," and his job was that the job that he had come to Earth to accomplish was finished, and essentially that job was to open the door to the kingdom of God.
And to anchor this kingdom in its, at least in its germinal stage on earth. As I understand it, the crucifixion on a cross made from a tree is symbolic, just as the Buddha attained his enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, of anchorage on earth in material substance of something that is purely, wholly spiritual. And what he brought to earth was some element of divine will. When he gave up his will and became a complete vehicle for divine will, that, as I understand it, became anchored in human consciousness forever after, because Christ Jesus was human. And that was the gift of his sacrifice that we are now obligated to act upon, to galvanize our own puny little selfish wills into something more in line with God's plan for our world. And I truly do think the crisis of the present times is so great that it indicates humanity is ready to take a step forward in the exercise of its will.
Yes, there is so much going on. There is so much turmoil and destruction going on in the world. Well, it has been for the last 100 years or so, but humanity is going kind of through a crucifixion or an ending of the times, mm-hmm. and an ending of the old ways and the old methods and the old attitudes that have to die out so that the new can be resurrected. And I was interested to, in relation to this, resurrection stage, that after Christ said, "It is finished," then it is said in the Bible that, "Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom." And this is, of course, a symbol of the opening up of the kingdom, the doorway to the kingdom that Christ did, because it rendered the veil that hindered the passing of from one kingdom into the other.
And also, I suppose it refers to that anchoring or that descent of pure spiritual will on earth. The kingdom was rent, meaning there was a complete flow of from the highest planes of our planetary life to the earthly realm of pure divine will. These anchorages of energies work out over eons of time, and that was 2,000 years ago. And generally, as I understand it, the cycles of spiritual growth work out in 2,000-year cycles when the sun passes from one sign into another. We're entering into a new age, the age of Aquarius. We've had 2,000 years to begin to grasp what the spiritual will is, and I think that's the challenge we're facing now as a species, the capacity to choose the higher, more inclusive way. And humanity is being put to the test, but surely we are up to it. It's said that at the fifth initiation, the individual knows in a manner that is indescribable that life is all that is, that there is no differentiation, no aspect of life that is apart from the creation that is God himself. And entering into that life is the life more abundantly that the Christ spoke of. It isn't just Christian teaching that gives us this, because there's this beautiful statement from the Bhagavad Gita that we can hold in mind. Know thou, O Prince of Pandu, that never was there a time when I, nor thou, nor any of these princes of earth was not, nor shall there ever come a time hereafter when any of us shall cease to be. That's the promise of the resurrection.
Well, if you'd like to explore these ideas further, many of the ideas we've discussed today can be found in From Bethlehem to Calvary by Alice Bailey, and it can be ordered for $12 from Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street. We have a special offer for you today. We're not going to charge you for shipping and handling, which means that the price of the book will be $12, so make a check or money order out to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And be sure to mention Inner Sight, and you'll receive free shipping and handling. And as I said, if you'd like to explore the topic further, the topic, of course, is The Drama of Easter, Part 2. You can send your check or money order for $12 to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And make sure you write a little note saying that you heard the offer mentioned on Inner Sight. And that's with free shipping, by the way, so that's a special offer. And once again, if you have any reason to call us for the general package of information or other reasons, call us at 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. Well, you've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.